I'm going to talk a little bit about our experience at CVS. You know, it's not that old a company, CVS, but when it opened, it wasn't a pharmacy. It was called Consumer Value Stores. It largely sold beauty products. There were just a couple stores in the in New England. It was a convenience store. And over the 50 years, there's been quite an evolution. We now have over 7,600 retail pharmacies. We are the pharmacy benefits manager, Caremark, for over 65 million Americans. We are the largest retail clinic operator with over 900 retail clinics across the country. We have a large home infusion company. We have a large rare disease management company. It's a company that has, over time, evolved in some very important ways. And while, as we've evolved, we have continued to sort of reassess who we are and what our role is and how we participate. And it is clear to us now that as we are in many people's neighborhoods and we have pharmacists who do get to know patients well, a typical diabetic will see their doctor three or four times a year, and they'll see their pharmacist. They'll walk into a CVS pharmacy nine times a month. And as more and more folks are thinking about how to improve the health of populations, how to actually care for patients over time, prevent illness, keep people healthy, I think we're all recognizing more and more that health does not happen when the patient is sitting in front of the doctor. Health is what happens between those visits to the doctor. And that's where we are. So we have made a wholehearted and a full-fledged commitment as a company to look through all of our business decisions from the lens of, are we satisfying this mission of trying to help our patients get healthier? And it all happens to be occurring at a really interesting time in our healthcare system where, you know, over the last couple, since the Affordable Care Act has passed, there's been a real extraordinary change in how doctors are getting paid. And increasingly, whether we're talking about primary care doctors and patient-centered medical homes, hospitals who are engaged in bundled care, primary care docs in comprehensive primary care initiative kind of arrangements, health systems and ACOs, global payments for states and dually eligible that are caring for dually eligible patients in new ways. The new approach is really, how do you optimize value? How do you move towards a setting where you can improve quality and reduce costs rather than just rewarding volume? And in this setting, there's this great opportunity for all these models to expand and to grow. And when you think about all of these new models, whether they're things that are happening at the state, where the state is sort of holding the purse strings, whether it's hospitals and health systems, whether it's individual providers, primary care docs, they all, anyone participating in a more of an accountable care and an environment where they're being rewarded for quality or for efficiency rather than volume, they all have to care suddenly about what their patients do between those visits, whether their patients take their meds. Are those patients sort of engaging in the right healthy behaviors between visits? And how can we encourage the most efficient and appropriate primary care for those patients to prevent illness? In this vein, in this setting, we've really tried to restructure ourselves, or at least reframe how we think about ourselves, rather than a host of independent companies, but more as an integrated model, one where we leverage all of our resources, the retail pharmacy, our Minute Clinics, our pharmacy benefits management company, our efforts around supporting better medication adherence, our home infusion company, our ability to manage patients that require specialty medications. How do we bring all of those efforts, all of those resources together to better manage the health of populations, to better improve quality and reduce costs? And at the same time, we all know, everybody in this room knows, I'm an going to spend an extraordinary little time on this slide, how dangerous smoking is. So lots of people die every year because of smoking. Most of the people that are smokers start as kids. The cost to the U.S. is on the order of $300 billion a year. Despite all that's been done around trying to reduce access and promote cessation, still somewhere on the order of 42 million Americans and 3 million middle and high school students still smoke. So we took a close look at ourselves. We looked at amongst patients that walk into a CVS pharmacy to buy a medication for hypertension, for asthma or COPD, for lung disease, or for an oral contraceptive. So an oral contraceptive, because if you smoke when you're on an oral contraceptive, you substantially increase your likelihood of having a clot. All medications that if you smoke while you're taking any of those medications, you either counteract or, much worse, you know, adversely affect the likelihood that you're going to benefit from those medications. We found that one out of every 20 patients that walked into a CVS and bought one of those drugs bought cigarettes on the very same visit. Something that is not tolerable. And I'm honored to be in the room with some folks who led some really, really important efforts in San Francisco and Boston. We did an evaluation looking at what happened to the proportion of people in two cities, San Francisco and Boston, who smoked before and after bans were placed that eliminated the sale of cigarettes from retailers than pharmacies, and found a meaningful drop. Using just a pre-post design, a 13.3% drop in the number of people who smoked, the proportion of people who smoked, after accounting for the baseline changes, a 5.5% reduction. Either way, a meaningful reduction in the number of people that smoke in both of those cities as a result of those policies. Really highlighting the fact that pharmacies are playing a role here. And it was clear to us that there was just an obvious inconsistency here. We cannot be out talking to hospitals and health systems about how we're going to help them manage the health of their patients if at the same time they're filling their medications and buying cigarettes. We cannot purport to be a company focused on health if we are responsible for selling the single most preventable cause of illness in the U.S. In February, we announced that we were going to eliminate the sales of cigarettes. We announced that it would be eliminated in October. In early September, we actually were able to eliminate sales about a month early. And on that same day, we announced a change in our name from CVS Caremark, which no one ever understood, to CVS Health. And at the same time, we now had a big space behind the counter. Needed to figure out what to do with that space. So we also at the same time developed a really extraordinarily broad and integrated approach to smoking cessation. One that leveraged our pharmacy benefits management company, our retail pharmacists to engage patients, our minute clinics to deliver counseling and intervention, to use a combination of both assessing everybody that walks into a CVS, educating them if they are smokers, providing medication support when necessary, and you know the integral coaching that's so central to improving outcomes. We provided substantial amounts of education and additional support through quit lines. And engaged our minute clinics to a large extent in this endeavor. And I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this. I think everybody recognizes that quitting smoking while it's a hard thing to do, it's incredibly important for one's health. We know that, let me see what I got next. Yeah, we know that about 7 out of 10 people who smoke want to quit, and very few people quit on their first time. And we believe that by making this so prevalent, by making it so easily accessible, by putting it in a setting that's virtually hard to miss, I mean, it's essentially impossible to miss if you walk into a CVS, that that we can play a really substantial role in trying to help people quit. So we've been really humbled by the support that we've gotten from the community, far more, I think, than any of us anticipated. Frankly, many of us were anticipating that Wall Street would tell us that we're doing something very dangerous. But it was so easy, such an easy decision for us to make. You know, it was one that's done extraordinary things for the morale of those of us who work at CVS Health, and it's one that really has helped us to sort of coalesce around this deep, profound vision and belief that we can do something meaningful to promote health in people's neighborhoods. And one quick story, people frequently say, so who was the person that was responsible for making this decision? One personal story is when I started working at CVS, I got this little discount card, gave me a 30% discount whenever I shop at CVS. And I now buy everything that I buy at CVS. And I took my daughter there. She was hungry, so she needed a granola bar, so we went to the CVS. And we were buying the granola bar. She looked behind the counter and saw that there were cigarettes. And she said, "Daddy, you're a doctor. How could it be that you're selling cigarettes if you're a doctor at a pharmacy? It doesn't make sense." It's like, that was very astute of you. So she said, "Well, I think you should email your boss, Troy." So I said, "Okay, I'll email my boss, Troy." And then about 3 weeks later, the announcement came out. And it came out, it was got a lot of coverage. It was in the newspaper. And I showed my daughter the newspaper. She, at the time, was not the greatest reader, but was reading well enough that it took her a little while to work her way through it. She started smiling. She was so excited. And she said, "You emailed Troy." And she proceeded to go to her school and tell everybody that she's personally responsible for no more cigarettes at CVS. So if anybody ever asks, it was Zoe Schrank that was the first one. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.